Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to welcome everyone. We're happy to see everyone here this morning. If you're visiting us for the first time, would you please fill out a welcome card so we'd have the honor of knowing who would worshiping with us today, and place it in the offering plate or hand it to one of the ushers. After today's service, please join us in the kitchen for a small collation. Kitchen is adjacent to the parlor here. The announcements this week are rather small. There'll be no Bible study on Tuesday. That's it. Unless somebody else has something else. Now our call to worship. For some of us, it's been a busy week. For some of us, it's been a stressful week. For some of us, it's been a satisfying week. For some of us, it's been a discouraging week. For some of us, it's been a happy week. But the past is now behind us. And as we begin a new week, we make a fresh start. Let us do so by worshiping the Lord our God. Those that are able, please stand and join us in singing our first hymn, number 606. Understand, Lord, how difficult it is for us to be patient. We are part of the fast food generation. When we want something, we want it now. We may even now be anticipating the end of this worship service so that we can move on with other activities of the day. So we ask you that you will calm our minds, that you will centralize our thoughts, and that we may realize the peace of your presence. Please join me in praying as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, our guest preacher, Reverend Doreen Parker Freeman, will lead us in a moment of prayer.
Let us bow our heads in prayer and bring our hearts to God and be open to hear what God might say as we are in a prayer mode. Thank you. beloved God in Christ, our always loving and compassionate Lord, we bow in prayer, thankful for this way of communicating with you. We are thankful for your readiness to hear us, both as we petition you and as we praise you. We are always thankful, too, that you hear us as we confess to you our sins. Hear us, O Lord, as we take a moment of silence to offer our confessions to you. And now, Lord, may we gain the strength to walk with you in more perfect submission to your will and to your commands. May we gain more holiness in our humanness. Guide us, God, on your path as we walk rough roads and smooth, as we struggle up hills and then on maybe less demanding paths. Give us strength to avoid temptations, dear Jesus. Let us hold the hands of others who need direction. May we comfort the sick, the forlorn, the angry, the frightened, the confused. May your Spirit bring peace and reconciliation upon us, that we might bring a blessing from you through our touch. We ask for your touch of love, grace, and healing upon the particular people that we have in our hearts, whose names you know, who need your special embrace. Dear Lord, we do ask for so much, trusting that you are a loving resource for our needs. We humbly thank you for all the goodness that fills our lives, even as our hearts feel needy. And in your blessed name, O Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, darling. As a boy, shared his meager lunch with thousands on a hillside in Galilee. Let us, through these offerings, share our small gifts with thousands around the world. The ushers will now wait upon you for your tithes and offerings. Thank you. don't know exactly how it happened, but somehow a few loaves and fishes fed a lot of people. We don't know exactly how it will happen, but we have faith that these gifts, which we now share, will be the vehicles of a similar miracle of your grace. Hymn 472. Today's solo will be sung by Richard Freeman. Thank you, Richard. Today's scripture and sermon will be read by our guest preacher, our very own Reverend Doreen Parker Freeman.
Our scripture lesson this morning is Psalm 42. Familiar words, I think they'll be to most of you. As a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me constantly, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I went with the throng and led them in procession to the house of God, with glad shouts and songs of thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the thunder of your cataracts. All your waves and your billows have gone over me. By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I walk about mournfully because the enemy oppresses me? As with a deadly wound in my body, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me continually, "Where is your God?" Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God. Could I say for sure that each one of us present here today has asked the questions raised in Psalm 42? And or have we made the statements that are found there, such as, why are you cast down, O my soul? O God, why have you forgotten me? If not asked or stated with the exact words found there, I'm sure that very similar questions and thoughts have come from us at certain times. We look for God in our lives, and sometimes we find it hard to know his presence or to know his action in our lives. We also find it hard to wait. We want that instant gratification, that term that's used quite a bit. And that can test our faith, can't it? Sometimes, like the psalmist, our very souls do long for God. They thirst for the living God. We look for God. We listen for God. We keep asking for God's intervention. And I think that we often anticipate that God's response will come in some powerful form. If we read about the prophet Elijah in the 19th chapter of 1 Kings, seeing that he kind of awaits some special helpful message from God, we find him thinking that it might perhaps be found in the power of some great and strong winds, or an earthquake, or a fire, all of which occurred while he was waiting. But no, the scripture says, the Lord was not in those powerful elements of nature. Then we are told that after the fire there was a still, small voice, and Elijah heard it as he huddled in a cave. thank goodness Elijah got himself out of the cave in response to that. And as he stood looking around, there came a voice to him, the scriptures would say. There came a voice to him saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And then Elijah responded. He responded to God's instruction to get busy with his work, God's work. He should stop sitting around feeling dejected because of upsetting things that had happened. God told Elijah to move on. Don't dwell on the past now, and work in the present for the future. Let us think about that for a minute. Let us think about what we do when we are feeling lost and troubled. Might we sometimes retreat? Might we, instead of listening for God to speak to us in some quiet, subtle manner, we might be expecting a response from Him that is very obvious, that is a kind of strong, very present happening of sorts. Might we not even think that God might offer a response with a still, small voice? Some of us run around a lot, don't we? I seem to be one like that, that I'm always running around doing something. And we're ever busy, endlessly tending to tasks and responsibilities. Some of us really have to stop and speak to ourselves to get ourselves to slow down and quiet down. It is important that we recognize the value of making quiet time, reflective time. It is important in our walk of faith to still ourselves, regularly in order to hear the still, small voice of God calling us to take a walk with Him. We might sit somewhere in silence, whether in your home or come in early before worship, go into the chapel that's in this building that where you could be by yourself. There are various places we might find for ourselves to set aside time to just be in silence with God. Some of us, of course, do have endless struggles. Lots of things not going the way we would like them to. Some struggle to make a livable wage. Some struggle to find a comfortable place to live. Some struggle with stressful relationships. And in those circumstances of life, there often comes the question, "Where are you, God?" If you are all that some people say you are cracked up to be, why am I in the struggle I'm in? If there are those of you who do not ask those questions, be sure that you don't make judgment on those who do ask them, because we don't always know what's happening in someone else's personal life. Perhaps you can think back to remember a time or times when those questions were appropriate. Or who knows, they might come when you are drawn to raise those questions. The psalmist stated, "My soul longs for you, O God." He said, "My soul thirsts for you." And he pours out his soul, the psalmist says. Have you ever done that? I know that I have. There have been times when I have been feeling just so disquieted, as the psalmist describes his feelings, that I ask God, why? For what reason are things going so badly? And I long for that peace that passes all understanding. But most of the time, once I lay it out before God, once I give it to God, the hopeful nature of Christian faith begins to fill me. And I can say to my troubled soul, as the psalmist did, Doreen, hope in God, for you shall again praise him who is your help and your God. We sang the words, Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our feverish or foolish ways. Sometimes one word is used depending on what hymnal it's in. We sang those words, forgive our feverish, foolish ways. Drop your still dews of quietness till all our strivings cease. Take from our souls the strain and stress, and let our ordered lives, you see, we must be busy but not stressing. We must put purpose and order into our days. And we should confess the beauty of thy God's peace. And the hymn goes on to say, breathe through the heats of our desire thy coolness and thy balm. Speak, O still small voice of calm. Sometimes I believe that taking a walk, if you're up to walking or find some other way, but sometimes I believe that taking a walk in the midst of great stress and strain can be helpful. I can remember back to when our four children were very young, and there were moments when I would feel overwhelmed with the demands on me. And it didn't happen often. I truly loved being a mother, still love being a mother and a grandmother, but it didn't happen too often. But I loved those precious children. But every so often, I would feel a little bit lost in my parenting. Where was I, Doreen, in this hectic, sometimes confusing lifestyle and life schedule that I lived? And once in a great while, I found that taking a walk, whether it was sunny or rainy, when I was able to leave the children for a little bit at home with Richard and go off on a walk up and down the streets of my neighborhood. And do you know what? What I found? I found not only myself, but I found that God was right beside me. I was walking with God. Or very possibly God was walking with me. Like the song that Richard sang this morning, his helping hand was there to lean upon. I was reminded that he would never forsake me. I could take God's hand and talk with him, and he would understand. I know after all these years of walking with God that my daily praying to him is heard. I know that he will drop his still dews of quietness upon my heart if I just put simple trust in him. I'll walk with God, as the song says, whatever road I may walk along. God in Christ does walk with me, and he certainly does or will do with you. Recognizing him is something we have to do. Just as we need to sometimes quiet ourselves to hear his still small voice, so sometimes we need to recognize his presence beside us, walking with us, sometimes in the garden, as that favorite hymn in the garden says. Walking with God, walking with Jesus, does need to be understood as that we are going in God's direction, proceeding at God's pace, progressing as God leads, sharing God's companionship, and arriving at God's destination. We are to walk with the Lord. When Jesus is walking beside us, we are to keep at the pace at which he walks, and we are to follow, not try to lead him. Psalm 42 is intended to teach something to us. It teaches us how to handle our blue moods, perhaps. When we wake up in the morning, kind of down, feel like our soul is cast down and quieted. A preacher named Ray Steadman has written this. He says, we all know that there are some mornings when we spring out of bed. I don't know, as I'm older, I don't spring out as well as I used to, but anyway, we might spring out of bed, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, as they say, and say, good morning, God. There are other mornings when we only manage to pry our eyelids, to pry them open, and might sit dejectedly on the bed and say, good God, it's morning. Psalm 42 is an expression of that confidence that humankind can have in God in times of trouble. Someone has said, since we all have troubles, Psalm 42 is a very appropriate psalm for anyone at any stage of life. The psalmist did not accept his blue mood as inevitable or permanent. He did something about it. We need to do something about our blue moods, our times of depression of spirit. It is highly unlikely that no one lives a life without any moments of low spirit. And we must be careful to not think that because we are Christians, we can expect to escape times of depression. Down times hit everyone at some time. Let me share with you a quotation from an outstanding theologian and preacher of the 19th century, Dr. John Henry Jowett. He once wrote this to a friend. I wish you wouldn't think I'm such a saint. You seem to imagine that I have no ups and downs, but just a level and lofty stretch of spiritual attainment with unbroken joy and equanimity. By no means. I am often perfectly wretched, and everything appears most murky. I often feel as though my religious life had only just begun, and that I am in the kindergarten age. But I can usually trace these miserable seasons to some personal cause. And the first thing to do, he says, is to attend to that cause and get it into the sunshine again. This is what Psalm 42 attempts to teach us, how to get into the sunshine again, to get out of that cave as Elijah did and into the light. It teaches us to walk with God. It teaches us to be patient. God is working out his purposes. So I would recommend that you refer to this psalm often, always reminding yourself to, quote, hope in God in the midst of whatever, for you shall again praise him who is your help and your God. Amen.
Yeah.
God, we have been in your presence this morning in this sanctuary. We thank you for being with us, for surrounding us with your love and your wisdom, your understanding. As we go on our way today, may we be aware of your presence with us at all times and walk beside us to guide us. We thank you for all the many blessings that you offer to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.